This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We turn to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We have our weekly conversation with a true friend of the city, a native-born son of Northeast Ohio. He is Chris Rose from the NFL Network, from the MLB Network. You can see him on ESPN. He has hosted multiple national championships. And, of course, you can see him on BattleBots. Is that good for you, Les? Is that a good introduction?
It's good for me, and we can ask him if he knows what SOM Center stands for.
Okay, good. We'll find out. Hello, Chris Rose. How are you?
God, I'm not going to know that. Just not going to know that, even though I grew up 15 minutes from here.
I know. That's why I asked.
Want to take a guess? SOM.
It's south of Macedonia.
Oh, not bad.
not bad.
Hey, that's a great guess if you didn't know. Yeah. A lot of people
even though it's not.
Some people had said south of Mayfield. Solon Orange Mayfield. That's what it stands for, Solon Orange Mayfield. Okay, glad you're on board. I need you to be our Los Angeles correspondent for a second.
Oh, God. Okay?
Because I know you're tired of the LeBron James story. I know you are. Okay, so
There might be... I just want to tell you...
Yes.
As a diehard Cleveland fan that lives in Los Angeles, I might be the person that is the most tired of it.
So you're getting it from both sides.
Yeah, since y'all can get away from it.
How often are you asked about it?
Wherever I go.
Everywhere, right?
Everywhere. Our Little League,
join the
our
club.
Little League parents who are all Lakers fans, what do you know? Like, all that stuff. Enough. Don't bother me.
Do you ever just toy with them and say, I think he's coming to the Lakers, and they get all excited?
No, because I actually think he's coming to the Lakers, so why would I toy with them?
Oh, wait, you may not be that sick of it if you actually think he's coming to the Lakers.
No, I'm sick of it.
No, Chris. Okay. Chris has the right idea. Last week, he says, "Just wake me up and tell me, and then let's move on."
All right.
I mean, right? This is not a complicated thing for Cavs fans. You know, go into it however you feel. If you want to feel like he's staying, feel that way. If you feel like he's going, you're just getting yourself prepared for it. Feel that way. Don't wake up. Don't listen to all the moronic talking heads on TV, where all they do is talk about it incessantly. Don't do it. Don't get you caught in that cesspool. Sorry.
All right, Chris,
I'm not doing it.
Chris, let's talk a little bit about LeBron James and the idea that he might go to Los Angeles.
Wow, never heard that one.
Hey, here's my question for you as our Los Angeles correspondent today. How much weight do you think Magic Johnson still carries with the young players of today's game? Do you think that they look and go, ooh, I want to go play? I mean, Magic said he would quit if he can't handle free agency over the next two seasons. Do you think he still has any street cred with some of these guys?
Yeah, I do. Don't you?
Not so much.
Well, you would know better than us.
I just think those guys want to get paid. And if it happens to be in Los Angeles, the city that they would like to live in, I don't know. I mean, Magic had to spit out his resume the other day. I played 9 finals, and I played against Larry Bird.
Yeah, and 30 years ago, it would have been Jerry West.
Before you were born, to a lot of these guys that are playing.
Yeah, but they're still... I don't think you have to explain to Paul George who Magic Johnson is, right? I mean, Paul George grew up in an area called Palmdale, which is about, you know, a little over an hour from downtown Los Angeles. You don't think Paul George, who's, 30-ish, knows about Magic Johnson?
I mean, so Palmdale's an hour away from downtown, so with the traffic, it's only 5 miles away.
Right, exactly. So, I mean... Listen, they're in a good situation, the Lakers. The Cavs trade with them made it better. They've got some good young talent. I watched, a decent number of their games last year. They've got some guys that are really interesting. I can understand why it would be appealing. It doesn't mean that if they get LeBron and Paul George that they're going to usurp Golden State atop the West or even in Houston, depending on what Houston gets in the offseason.
Now, that's why I don't get LeBron. That. I mean, LeBron wants to be in the finals as usual, and that move doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but we don't know where that is on his priority chart. We all think it's number one,
true.
But we don't know.
No, you're
right. His oldest son is a year away from being in high school. And, you know, there was another – listen, as much as I say I don't want to follow the LeBron stuff, I am reading the opinions as to why he may go one place as opposed to another. And there was an interesting column on ESPN.com yesterday, I think, that was talking about why it might make sense for him to just take one more year plus the player option in Cleveland. And it has to do with, you know, Bronny getting ready for high school the next year. And maybe that's when he wants to make the clean break. It's possible. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about this. We don't, it's unfair for us to guess what's inside some other human's head and for us to prioritize what we think is going on in his life. That's not fair. And I'm not, that's why I don't do it.
I think it's more than LeBron, too, though. I mean, if LeBron is trying to team up with other guys, he's got to try to figure out what's inside San Antonio's head. He's also got to try to figure out what he can get from the Cavaliers if he's trying to work contract situations. You're trying to get free agents to come on board with you to go somewhere else. I just think it's a lot. On paper, it all sounds really easy. Hey, LeBron, let's go to L.A. and let's team up and let's try to do this. But when you're looking at a guy like Kawhi Leonard, there's no power there. Kawhi's still under contract. And Kawhi's got to stay in, you know, his fate is in the hands of the Spurs. And so that's why I'm having trouble just kind of seeing these pieces come together. If they're all unrestricted free agents and teams have cap space to bring both of them in, then I think it's an easy road. We saw the way Miami cleared out their roster, and those guys still had to take a haircut to make it all work contractually, right? So I just think there's too many variables here to think that this is an easy slam dunk, this is how it's going to work kind of situation. If there's anybody who can figure it out, though, it's LeBron, and LeBron will figure out a way to make it happen. It's because he's got a good team around him. Management team.
Listen, if you're LeBron, you're not just going to sit on the sidelines and be like, yeah, well, however it plays out, I'm good with.
No.
He's the biggest domino in the history of the sport.
Yeah, there won't be anything like
free
it.
Agents. Yeah. So, you know, this is the third time he's been through it. He could go through it a fourth time in another year. And, listen, I don't always wear my LeBron-colored glasses. I see him for what he is, which is, I mean, he's one of the few athletes that has lived up to the expectations, so you can discuss that side of it. He has revitalized our community unlike anybody has before. He has done a tremendous job away from the arena as well, with all the money and all these kids that he's putting through college, and that shouldn't be underestimated either. But at the same time, we know he loves being the center of attention, and that's not a bad thing. You know, when you check all the other boxes, then you deserve it. And he loves the drama. He thrives on it. Some people don't. He does.
Yep.
And so all this stuff is just playing right into his wheelhouse.
Yeah, you can't you can't duplicate it later on. This is a one-of-a-kind, one-of-a-time. Hey, would you shut down Corey Kluber for a while?
Because of one bad start?
Well, 2 out of 3.
Yeah. I think that if there's something bothering him, they will at some point. You know, I mean, it's always hard to tell. Like, he's not a guy that throws 97, right? So if something's off, it's going to be with his location, which is where, you know, that's what makes him so devastating. What's he top out at, 93 or 4?
Yep.
Still hard enough, but not, you know, it's hard to tell if a guy's throwing 97, 98, and then one day he's throwing 91. You're looking at each other like, whoa, what the heck's going on? So only they know that. You know, it's the first thing I thought of last night when he couldn't make it out of the second. But, you know, we'll see. They just got to be ready for October. That's it. Yeah. The rest of the division stinks so bad that.
That's okay.
I'll see you then.
Yeah, that's fine.
Chris, I'll buy into that too. Listen, I want to ask you a football question here. You know, that story came out yesterday about Tyler Helinski, the backup quarterback at Washington State. And, you know, he committed suicide back in January. And Mayo Clinic came back and said, you know, with CTE, his brain was that of a 65-year-old. Man, if you're looking at the future of football, that's not a good story at all. And, you know, there's rules about how you can use your helmet and put your helmet down. And I know everyone's been, you know, they're trying to educate players on that more and more every day. How much does this worry you about the future of football? And for me, I'm just concerned one day it's going to take one lawsuit from one parent of one high school that's going to say, hey, why is this happening and what happened to my son? And the state institutions of education are going to say, maybe we shouldn't be in the football business anymore. I think that's my big picture kind of worry about some of the stuff that's coming out with CTE and head injuries. Your thoughts?
Well, listen, everybody has to make their own individual decision as parents.
Right.
Okay? And you have to, it's your job to inform yourself and your spouse, your significant other, whomever are the decision makers in the household. So I can't tell people what to do. I will say this. I've got a teenage driver. That scares the hell out of me. Okay? I still let him drive. And I don't have to. Really, I don't have to. I could take him to school every day, 5 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ways to get around, but I'd still let him drive. And so I think that sometimes, listen, one death, we all know this, is too many. We get
right.
that. And, you know, you sit there and you, because it's a sport, and there are, you know, last year there were a handful of deaths in high school football. Because of the way, whether it was kids who had pre-existing conditions that we didn't know about, things of that nature. It also happens in other sports in high school, and it's awful. I mean, I can't imagine to think what parents are going through when that sort of stuff happens. But I don't think that we can overreact when there's, you know, isolated incidents. I think we have to be able to learn from them. I think that the... you know, those doctors that are involved in analyzing and breaking down why this stuff is happening so that it doesn't happen in the future is the way to go. But I just don't, at this point, like I said, there's other things that we let teenagers do and young kids, young people do that cause great harm as well. I don't know if that's a great explanation
well,
or
I guess
great answer.
Chris, let me ask you this question then. How old's your son?
He's 17.
Did he want to play football? Or does he play football?
He does not.
Did he ever
he
want to?
He tried out in eighth grade. He didn't like it. Now, I have a 12-year-old who is going to play football this year.
Okay.
Good luck.
And he's really interested in it. And, you know, I mean, my wife and I have had talks about it. So.
How do those talks normally go down? Because we're going through that, too. Just curious. How does that, give me that conversation if you can with your wife. Hey, let's have a serious conversation about letting our son play football. We've had this because, I mean, my son's already had a concussion. And so we go back and forth, and he plays lacrosse and he plays hockey, and those are also concussion-based sports, I guess is one way to put them. And, you know, they're hard conversations to have, I think,
as
parents.
Did you play football?
Yeah.
I did, too, until through eighth grade. And I wasn't very good, but I remember one day at practice at U.S., I was on the second team defensive line, and I was getting ready to make a play. Like, the guard in front of me pulled, and I didn't recognize that it was a pull, and here comes Austin Shepherd, whom I'd gone to school with since kindergarten, and smart guy, ended up going to Yale, but man, he could hit, and he was the other pulling guard, and he filled that hole, and he knocked me in the next week. And I remember being out on my feet. I was seeing stuff, and it still sticks with me. I was 13 years old, and now I'm 47, and I remember that hit. And I remember after that, I was like, screw this. I'm done.
Hey, do you see famous people at the grocery store?
Do we have to test you right now for something? Are you okay?
I think that's a legitimate question, and all these guys are laughing at me.
You mean in Los Angeles?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. When you go out to the grocery store, do you see any famous people?
It's a great question.
Let's see here. I haven't. You see them more when you go out to meals. Grocery store, I haven't seen a ton. My wife has seen some. I know that she's seen a few. She'll recognize.
Somehow expected a better answer than that.
Here, well, I'll ask you a better. What? I'm going to ask a better Chris Rose question.
Okay,
Chris,
okay.
When Tom Arnold calls you to catch up and relive your days of Best Damn Sports Show, do
which
you
was
get
a great show? By
do
the
you
way.
Get three words in the conversation? That's my question.
It's why I text with him. I'm guaranteed at least 7 or 8.
See?
You know, instead of Tommy has, you know, I'm sure you've been keeping up the tabs of what he's been doing lately. He's trying to take down the president and things of that nature. It's
I heard him on Stern. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's on a roll. So I haven't quite caught up with him lately, but I will always say this about Tom, and I loved working with Tom because of the unpredictability of him every day. It was a challenge getting him to the set every day, but once the show started, there's been few guys who lit it up like him. So I loved working with him. He was great.
Did you ever discuss how that marriage worked for any time at all?
Hey, so, you know, Tom had a Roseanne tattoo on his chest. I kid you not. And so this is, what, 2001 that we started that show.
Right.
And he had it lasered off, and this is before they got good at lasering stuff.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, it looked like he had taken, like, a cattle prod and just kind of gone over it on his chest. And I was like, Tommy, what was it like being married to her? And he goes, hey, buddy. He goes, I got, like, 25 mil from her, and I could have taken her for way more. I'm like, okay, yeah, he probably should have, retrospectively. I would have hung on to that golden ticket a little bit more.
Oh, is that funny? Chris, I got to tell you, one of the highlights of me doing Indians pre and post was when we came in and you were doing the story with CeCe Sabathia. You played wiffle ball with him in the back lot. That was a blast, man. That was probably one of the most – it took us forever in traffic to get to your show, but man, we had a great time.
Man.
And you were always hospitable. I'll never forget that. So.
Well, listen, the show that we did – and I don't mean to live too much in yesteryear, but we were there, what, for 8 years, so from 01 to 09, and it took on different machinations throughout the years. But when it was at its peak, and I always felt like it was when Tom, Sally, Kruk, and Irvin were there, I thought that's when it was at its best, that it's a sort of show which, if it had started today, would have been off the charts because of just how crazy and irreverent it was. And in society where we take ourselves way too seriously at times, and these debate shows drive me up a wall. Some of the guys are very, and some of the women are very good at what they do, but they bore me to tears. It's like we're debating the same three topics every day. It was a show where there was no blueprint that was ever the same every day.
And that's why it was the best damn sports show ever.
Period.
It was fun.
It was good. Chris, thanks. We got to roll. Appreciate your time. You're a good man. Always a friend of the show. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
You got it, boys.
All right,
take care.
Chris Rose, Northeast Ohio native. You make sure you watch him on NFL, MLB Network, ESPN, Intentional Talk, and BattleBots as well.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.